praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs are based on the ministry of Witness Lee and his 21-year-long crowning work, The Life Study of the Bible. We'll include excerpts from his spoken ministry, which focuses on the enjoyment of Christ as the divine life as revealed in the Bible. We hope that through these studies, you'll be brought into a deeper enjoyment of the Scriptures and of our dear and precious Lord Jesus. You can contact us by sending email to radio@lsm.org. or reach us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. Now, let's join today's program. At the time the Lord Jesus was on the earth, all those around him, both his followers and those opposing him, wanted him to tell them about the end times. When is the kingdom coming? What about the rapture? When will the Lord's second coming be? These questions continue to interest mankind. Both believers and unbelievers share a certain curiosity. Yet the Lord Jesus, both then and now, is not so much interested in satisfying our curiosity as he is in waking us up from our spiritual sleep, that we would be wise and beseeching him, that we would not be those who were caught unawares or worse, unprepared at his coming. Francis Ball has joined us today. Francis, welcome back to our program and another interesting life study, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and I really enjoy the progression of these life studies in the book of Luke.
Yesterday, Francis, we touched a portion in chapter 21 that referred to the end times, also touched the rapture and the Lord's second coming. It can be a confusing portion because of the prophecy that's contained in verses 33 through 36. Because this is such an interesting matter and so many people care about it, I thought maybe it would be good to review it again a little bit for those that missed the program. Let me read those verses, and I'm starting now at verse 34 in chapter 21 of our Gospel of Luke. But take heed to yourselves, lest perhaps your hearts be weighed down with debauchery and drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and that day come upon you suddenly as a snare. For it will come in upon all those dwelling on the face of the earth. But be watchful at every time, beseeching that you would prevail to escape all these things which are about to happen, and stand before the Son of Man. Francis, what often confuses people regarding the rapture is that there are verses concerning it that seem to indicate it's taking place at different times. On the one hand, of course, we know that the Lord comes to the air to meet the raptured saints. But here in Luke 21, we have reference to those, quote, that stand before the Son of Man, which must be at the throne in the heavens before he begins his descent to the clouds. How do we explain what appears to be a serious discrepancy here?
Well, I think the first thing, Chris, we have to realize is there really is no discrepancy. There is discrepancy only in our understanding.
Right.
Because we may have some preconceived ideas about what the Lord is talking about when he speaks about his coming. His coming and our being raptured to him has some items of preparation that he's bringing out here quite clearly, that we need to be ready. And it's not just to be born again. It's just like a baby is born, but that doesn't make him ready to inherit the estate.
Right.
He must have some maturing, and he must be ready. He must be prepared. And I believe that's what's brought out here very much, is there are those among all the Christians who have a desire to be prepared and be ready when the Lord comes. So you have these warnings to believers. It's not just saved or lost. But it's a matter, there is another aspect to being raptured to be with the Lord. And as you mentioned, that there are those who will be raptured to the throne. And this is all also mentioned in the book of Revelation.
Right.
That there'll be the man-child will be raptured to the throne. So that's another aspect of the same thing. But there are these different times and different raptures.
This type that we see in Revelation of a harvest being a good type of the rapture, anyone who has grown up around farm country and knows anything about harvest, you don't harvest according to the calendar. You harvest according to the ripening of the crop,
yeah,
don't
right.
you, Francis?
That's right.
And it doesn't all ripen at the same moment.
No.
So those that ripen early are the ones referred to here in Luke chapter 21 and Revelation 14, as you pointed out. And then there's the general harvest when the main crop is ripened. So it's really one rapture, but it's progressive or in stages as the believers are ready to be raptured.
That's right. And much of what the Lord does with his people is in stages like this.
Well, we're going to see us pass now from this matter of the rapture, the second coming. The Lord touches the Passover. In fact, a lot of significance is given to the Passover and then the instituting for the first time of the Lord's table. And that's in the verses that just follow what we read. And now we're in chapter 22, which is where we will join Witness Lee today. Let me read a couple of verses, Francis, as we prepare to go to his portion.
Yeah.
In chapter 22, verse 1, "Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was drawing near, and the chief priests and scribes were seeking a way to do away with him, for they feared the people. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, and was of the number of the 12. And he went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers as to how he might deliver him up to them. And they rejoiced and promised to give him money." Francis, what we're going to see here in this first portion is that all of the parties were quite busy at this time. The Lord Jesus is busy preparing a new feast, and God is busy preparing him to die as the real Lamb of God, right?
That's right.
And now we see Satan is busy entering into the heart of Judas, and Judas is busy, and the opposers are all busy.
Right.
Quite an event before us. Let's join Witness Lee.
Chapter 22 shows us, while the man Savior was getting himself ready to die, the opposers were busy to carry out their conspiracy. And at the same time, the enemy of God, Satan, was also busy. You know, whenever God is busy, he is also busy. There was not a time that God is busy, yet he goes to sleep. Satan is always busy after God. He was busy now, especially with one of the 12 apostles appointed by the man Savior, and his name was Judas. Then while they were busy, the Lord Jesus was also busy. And he was busy to do one particular thing, that is to set up a feast to end the Passover in the Old Testament. You know, there was a big thing in the Old Testament, and this thing might be considered bigger than God's creation. You know, in the Old Testament, firstly, you have God's creation recorded. Then after that, man got fallen, even fallen into Egypt. And there, man got saved. In that time, God ordained a Passover for them to be saved, to be brought back to their lost right. And that was the Old Testament Passover. And that began from Exodus chapter 12, at the time Moses, and lasted over 15 centuries until this night, the night in which the man Savior had the last Passover. Why this was crucial? Because it was the ending of the Old Testament Passover, and right away, the Savior instituted his supper, the Lord's table, to replace the Old Testament Passover. By this you could see, in that one night, there was a kind of a period of transition from the Old Testament Passover in transit to the New Testament Lord's Supper. This is very, very crucial.
Francis, we're going to spend more time to see how the significance of the Lord's table replacing the Passover. But let's visit for a moment about the crucial transition taking place in this night and all of the activity that is going on behind the scenes. This was a critical moment in God's economy, wasn't it?
I would say probably the most critical time in God's economy. I was just amazed at this statement that Brother Lee mentioned about this Passover feast was celebrated every year for 1,500 years.
Right.
And you can just see that whole thing becoming so much of a custom and so much a part of the Jewish life and religion practice in every way. Now, even those that are opposing him are hesitating about whether to come in to try to find him now at this time, just before this feast.
Right.
But this is in God's plan, this is in God's prophecy, to bring this crucifixion and this death of the Savior at this particular time to fulfill all the prophecies concerning it. This, to me, is really amazing.
Down the road, a couple of programs will pick up this matter of the timing and go back to the prophecies in Daniel and see that how God is really on course, on target, and on time.
Right. There's no interrupting what he has planned. He will do it.
Well, Francis, let's move on. As I mentioned before, we want to spend some time now to look at this feast, the Passover and the Lord's table and the relationship here and how this progression is moving forward. If we jump down a little bit to verse 15, and he said to them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I shall by no means eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he received a cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, I shall by no means drink from now on of the product of the vine until the kingdom of God come." And he took a loaf and gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is being given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And similarly, the cup, after they had dined, saying, "This cup is the new covenant established in my blood, which is being poured out for you." Francis, the last Passover and the first Lord's table.
Mm-hmm.
What a meal.
Yes, these are really depicted here in very rich detail because you have seemingly the same elements. But here is the end of the Passover, the last Passover the Lord had with his disciples at that time and was the beginning, the first, the initiation of what we call the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table. We're brought in to see a lot of things that we just took for granted, and yet we find where their base is right in the Bible.
Well, we're going to see some rich development of some of these details and points in the speaking just ahead. Here's Witness Lee again.
The feast for the Passover of the Old Testament at that night begin from verse 15. And he said to them, "I have earnestly longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." That means before I go to the cross. "For I tell you that I shall by no means eat it," that means eat the Passover, "anymore until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." The thing is this, God has a full plan to redeem his people into his jubilee. What is the feast? The feast is just a sign of God's full redemption. And God's full redemption is to bring his chosen people into the full enjoyment of himself. And the feast, firstly in the Old Testament, was the feast of the Passover. And then, secondly, in the New Testament, the feast was the Lord's table. You have to realize the feast of the Passover didn't get the fulfillment in full. Then you have the New Testament Lord's table. This is again a feast. This feast replaced the feast of Passover. And you may also say it is a continuation of that feast. But even this feast today still has not been fully fulfilled. And it will be fully fulfilled where? In the coming kingdom. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there is always this feast referred to. And this feast began from Exodus chapter 12. It continued through all the 15 centuries until this night, in which the Lord Jesus replaced that feast with his table. So today, in the church age, God's people all are attending this feast. And this feast has not been fully fulfilled until there will be a feast in the kingdom. Actually, it shouldn't be considered as three-faced. It should be considered as one-faced, set up by God through his redemption for our full enjoyment in the Jubilee in three stages. In the Old Testament stage, in the New Testament stage, then in the Kingdom stage.
My, Francis, a wonderful development here. What we really have is not three feasts. We do use this term replacing, but really it's one feast that's progressing into three stages, isn't it?
That's right. It's headed for its full fulfillment. You know, I'm quite excited about seeing this because I really never saw this before, that this is really one feast in three stages. And the stage in the Old Testament was very physical, full of types.
Right.
Even the lamb that was slain there for the Passover is a type of Christ himself. And eating the lamb is a type of our feasting upon Christ. But there it's all types, and it's very much in the physical realm. And that feast was kept by those Jews in an outward way for all these 15 centuries. And I just can't express what kind of a feeling came up in me as he was talking there about this now being the last of the feast of the Passover, and now it's the instituting of what we have as the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper. And that's what the Lord had instituted with his disciples after he terminated the feast of the Passover. And he gave them that cup that was used for the feast of the Passover and said, partake of all of it, all of you. But he said, I will not drink any more of the fruit of the vine until I drink it again with you in the kingdom of God. Now that means that there's something else coming, but in a different light. Now it's more in a divine and mystical realm, because it's not just physical. It is true, we take the bread, we drink the cup at the Lord's table. You have to see it in a divine and mystical way, because it's still mysterious how we are partaking of Christ in spirit in this kind of enjoyment. And also that this is really the experience of the Jubilee. So this progression is really a marvelous view. I hope we could all see this because it means so much to us in our Christian life.
Francis, in this final section, we're going to see how this feast really ties into the overall focus or thrust of the Gospel of Luke, which really is the Jubilee, which is a feast in itself. So let's go back to Witness Lee for that.
What was the Passover? Passover was the Old Testament Jubilee. At that Passover, the oppressed Israelites were released from the Egyptian bondage, from the tyranny of Pharaoh. They were in the kind of slavery, and that was their bondage. And the Passover set them free from that bondage. And on the positive side, the Passover brought them into a feast to enjoy the lamb, which was a symbol of Christ, the very embodiment of God. So from that day, the children of Israel were brought into the enjoyment of God. They enjoyed the lamb and Passover, then in the wilderness they enjoyed manna, and then entering into the good land, they enjoyed all the riches of the good land, which was a type of Christ. So you see, Passover set them free from the bondage and brought them into the enjoyment of God. Then the last, that enjoyment, they entered into captivity again. And then the man Savior came. He came to proclaim a further stage of the Jubilee. That is the New Testament Jubilee. And the New Testament Jubilee does have a symbol, a sign. And this sign was just the Lord's table. The Lord's table is a sign of the Jubilee that sets us all free from the bondage and brings us into the full enjoyment of the triune God, which is not only a replacement of the Old Testament Passover feast, but also a continuation of that feast. But even this New Testament Lord's Table as a feast is not a fulfillment. This will go on to enter into the third stage, You know, in the third stage, there will be again a feast. And that feast will be again a replacement of today's feast and a continuation of the Lord's table. And that feast will be also a symbol of the coming Jubilee in the kingdom. By that time, all God's chosen people redeemed will be fully free from all kind of occupations, bondages, slaveries, and they will be brought into full enjoyment of the triune God in that kingdom age.
Well, Francis, you and I are sitting here with our eyes widening like children unwrapping a package, as so many things that have had mystery and confusion attached to them are becoming clear. I hope our listeners are getting the same enjoyment that we are.
Oh, I do too.
We've got just a minute left. We have to touch a little bit this matter of these feasts really being a type of the Jubilee.
Yes. Those Israelites were really set free that night.
Right.
With that offering of the lamb and the eating of the lamb. And that was a real liberation, a real Jubilee. They went off rejoicing. And then coming to the Lord's table meeting, now I understand why that time is so full of enjoyment.
Right.
When we come together at the Lord's table without any kind of program, so to speak, but just the enjoyment of Christ and remembrance of Him and in praise and worship to the Father, that is a real Jubilee. And then to think that there's a time coming, not too long off, when we'll enter into the full experience of the all-inclusive Jubilee feast in the New Jerusalem, and even in the Kingdom Age, even before the New Jerusalem, we'll have such a time that there'll be no hindrances to our enjoyment of this Jubilee to the fullest extent.
Yes, in the last section, when you mentioned that, just underscoring what we had seen today, that the verse we read clearly indicates that this feast continues in the kingdom. He said, "For I tell you, I shall by no means drink from now on of the product of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." So there is enjoyment now and release from captivity for us, just as there was for the Israelites at the Passover, the first Passover. And in the church age, we experience this enjoyment hopefully day by day, surely when we come together to break bread and pass the cup on the Lord's Day in remembrance of Him. But it's all with an anticipation and a looking forward to what's ahead, isn't it?
Amen. That is really wonderful.
Francis, I wish we had more time. I think we tried to get too much into this program today, and I feel that we couldn't possibly cover all these points to the degree that they deserved. I hope our listeners will really contact us this time and get the printed material.
Yes, get the printed material.
Our toll-free number, if you'd like to do that, is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 1-888-543-3788. Please call us today if you would. You can write to us at Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814, or send an email message to us, radio@lsm.org. And please stay with us as we get into this last portion of the life study of Luke. These messages ahead, believe me, you do not want to miss them. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very, very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. The focus of Living Stream is the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China in the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Witness Lee brought this ministry first to Taiwan, then later to North America, and eventually to the entire world. For more than 20 years, he spoke these life study messages, unveiling how each book of the Bible shows God's eternal plan. God, through Christ, wants to dispense His life and nature into redeemed man, so that man would become God's expression, enlargement, counterpart, and habitation. These studies go far beyond mere doctrine and unveil a personal, practical, and experiential Christ. In these short 26-minute programs, we summarize and condense Witness Lee's rich speaking. But to enjoy all the riches in these messages, we hope you'll visit our website at lifestudy.com. There, you can read all of the life study messages absolutely free of charge. You can even create your own life study reading schedule or download more life study audio programs just like this one, and all at no cost. Again, the website, lifestudy.com. www.thebibleclub.com. Thanks for listening.
What does it really mean to be born again?
Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John chapter 3, verse 3. To be born anew is to be born from above, from heaven. That is to be born from God who is in heaven. The kingdom of God is the reign of God. It is a divine realm to be entered into, a realm that requires the divine life. Only the divine life can realize the divine things. Hence, for one to see or to enter into the kingdom of God requires that he be regenerated with the divine life. Scripture, John 3, verse 3, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version, published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.